Good morning. Good morning, friends, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we're glad that you found your way here. You can learn more about how we are church together. Take a look at your bulletin for worship and fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Don't hesitate to ask someone around you if you have any questions, or there'll be an elder at the communion table following worship. We have a few announcements this morning. Larry, why don't you get us started?
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Of course, it wouldn't be Mother's Day if I didn't mention the flea market. So we're still looking for volunteers, especially for the baked goods booth, people to staff it, people to run it. We've got a lot of bakers signed up to donate, so we need someone to really sell this delicious stuff. Also, yard signs. Please, if you can, pick one up, put it in your yard or some prominent place where you have permission to put it up. It helps advertise. It brings in a lot of people. And I think that's it.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Aaliyah Binko. Why are you laughing? Do I look older than Aaliyah? Anyway, happy Mother's Day, everybody. Aaliyah and Roger Best, who is standing at the back, who's really the best, organized our spring cleanup yesterday, and we just wanted to say thank you to those who came. The windows are cleaner. The leaves are picked up. Lots of sticks are picked up. Closets are cleaned. All of the safety things in the church have been tested. I don't know if we got to the cobwebs in the sanctuary, but anyway, we really do appreciate it. Many hands make this church stay healthy and clean and useful for all of us. So thank you to all who gave time yesterday on a Saturday. Thanks.
Thank you. Jen?
Good morning. If you could please take out your insert and take a look. We got a lot of things going on. We haven't had youth group for a while, so youth group will meet next week, and that's going to be a combined junior and senior high hike and ice cream event. It should be really fun, so mark that on your calendar. This week, also, rehearsals are going to start for Children's Sunday, so please send your child to class like regular, and then their teachers are going to walk them down to the adult lounge starting today for a rehearsal in the beginning of class. If you have a three-year-old, they are also welcome to join. So after Thoughts for Children, you would walk them directly to the adult lounge, and then they can always go down to the toddler room after that. Speaking of the toddler room, next week will be the first week that the toddler and nursery care will be in room 3. We're moving from down this hall to the other end, so that will start next week. A couple more things. Let's see what else. Oh, we got toddlers and tinies meeting this Thursday at 11:30. And lastly, I would ask that you look through old pictures. We need some pictures for our senior recognition slideshow on June 9th, and Mary Hadley has offered to put that together for us so nicely. So please, yeah, I know. Please email them to Mary Hadley by the 24th. Thank you.
And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. We praise creation's God. Let each single voice praise God. Let all voices together praise God. Let the great multitude of nations praise God. With all creation, we praise God. Blessing and honor, glory and power.
We now join our voices together in a time of confession. God of the people, you have struggled to walk humbly before you and to share in the struggle with the least of these. Yet we have failed to live up to this call. Today we come before you asking your Spirit to empower us to be agents of transformation for the world. Make us a chalice from which all the oppressed can find the living waters of God, who calls us to live a life of service, of humility, and of reconciliation with you, with creation, and with the world. Thank you. Do not fear. You can place your trust in God, for God will lead you, comfort you, protect you. You are not alone to face all the difficulties of life. God is with you and will lift you up. We rejoice, for we are loved by God. Are invited to come forward.
Good morning. Thank you. Let's try that again. Good morning. That's a little better. Okay, we're going to have some fun this morning, and we're going to play a game called Electricity. Raise your hand if you've heard of it. Okay, all right. This is going to be new. So stand up, and we're going to get in a line, and I want you to all hold hands in a line, straight line. Here, Freya, back up. Maybe hold Alex's hand. Come on up. Will, maybe you can be on the next.
That would be good. Let's go.
Okay, so for our game, we all need to hold hands. Hold hands, please. Everett, hold Will's hand. Come on, it's not going to work unless we hold hands. For real. For real. Okay, Freya, let's put this book down so you can hold Alex's hand. Oh, Nathan, look at that. That's great. Okay, so we're going to start on one hand, and we're going to squeeze a hand, and you're going to pass the squeeze down the row. So I'm going to start on this end, and I'm going to squeeze your hand, Owen, and when you feel my hand squeeze your hand, you're going to squeeze, and then we'll send the squeeze down. And then when it reaches the end, you have to say, we love each other. We can all say it when you reach the end. Okay. All right. Ready? Here we go. I'm going to send the squeeze. Squeeze. Pass that squeeze on. Pass the squeeze. Pass the squeeze. This is harder than I thought. Pass the squeeze. Pass the squeeze. Okay, I'm seeing the squeeze go on. I'm seeing the squeeze. Pass the squeeze. Press and squeeze. And I think and let's say, we love each other. Excellent. Okay, let's try something different here. I'm going to have Faith sit down, and Alex sit down, and Freya sit down. Okay, all right, let's try this again. I'm going to start the squeeze. Squeeze. What happened? It stopped. We didn't get to the end. So you guys can have a seat. Have a seat. I'll just stay over here. Right next to my favorite friend, Will, here. So what happened when our chain broke? What happened when our chain broke? It didn't get to the end, right? The half of the chain didn't get the electrical flow. So Jesus talks about how God is with us in our lives, and we're also part of God's life. Because of this, the love of God is in all of us, and we are to share it with everyone. And this is kind of like the game of electricity. It flows from person to person, and we need every single person to participate to transmit God's love. And what happens when we pull someone out of the game? The flow stops, right? God needs each and every one of us to help spread God's love. What's one way we can share God's love? Anyone? How can we share God's love? Graham. You can say hi to someone. Excellent. How else can we share God's love, Will? You weren't raising your hand, but I bet you know. Elliot? I think your sister raised your hand for you. We are having fun this morning. Maybe we can give someone a hug. What do you think? Give someone a hug. Freya, how do you show someone love? How do you show someone love? You don't know? Okay, maybe give someone a kiss like your mom? Okay, so these are all good ways to show love. Does anyone know what today is besides a Sunday? Yep, Evelyn.
It's Mother's Day. We have so many women in our lives who show us love. We have moms, stepmoms, aunts, grandmas, teachers, friends, Sunday school teachers, pastors, mentors, all kinds of women who love us. And today's a special day to show them a lot of love, too. We are all needed to show God's love to one another. Will you pray with me? Loving Jesus, you connect us together with your love. You tell us that love is the most important part of all of our lives. May we show all people your love. Amen. All right, let's go to our classes.
The first reading of the word is from Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind could blow on the earth or the sea or against any tree. I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to damage earth and sea, saying, "Do not damage the earth or the sea or the trees until we have marked the servants of our God with a seal on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, sealed out of every tribe of the people of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000, the multitude from every nation. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hand. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory, honor and wisdom, and thanksgiving and power and might be to our God forever and ever." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes."
our second text for today comes from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who had heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please, come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him weeping, showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and he knelt down and he prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." And then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up, and then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. I'm not one to normally preach about secular holidays. To be honest, these are normally the kind of Sundays I like to use as vacation, though with this weather, I'm glad I didn't. And you all really don't tend to notice if I'm not here on Mother's Day or the 4th of July. Christmas and Easter, you might notice a bit more. Now, I may not spend a whole lot of time preaching about Mother's Day, I will tell you that knowing this scripture text fell on this day, it did influence my decision to choose this scripture from Acts. Because rarely do we hear stories about women from the Bible, mainly because there aren't that many. So when this gem from Acts popped up, I had to go with it. And I will say that my process over this week was a difficult one. I struggled because I really wanted to craft a sermon about a woman who was so remarkable. She is the only woman to be called a disciple in the entire New Testament. But my attention returned over and over again to the community gathered there in Joppa. And it really got me thinking about the church back then and how it really isn't that much different from the church today. The church has always faced dilemmas of being human, illness and disease and death among its members. Dorcas, also known as Tabitha, became ill and died. That's the beginning of the story. And so the congregation in Joppa had lost one of its pillars, a matriarch in the faith, if you will, because Dorcas had a ministry. She worked among widowed women and children, a very vulnerable population in those days, making clothing and supporting them with genuine love and concern. Love at work in a very particular way. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity, the scripture says. And then the story contains a very poignant scene. These women all crying over the loss of a great friend, a saintly, charitable leader, one whose death apparently took them by great surprise. She wasn't just a friend. She was a woman that they truly admired. And this fact that we are told her Aramaic name, as she was most likely known in her faith community, and her Greek name, as she was probably known in the wider community, especially the business world, may suggest that her good works and acts of charity were widely and publicly practiced. But in this very private moment, the women are gathered, washing her body, and they lay her in this upstairs room, and they call for Peter, who was also widely known, respected, to come to the home. And he did so immediately. Maybe he spent time in Tabitha's community, knowing her and admiring her. The scene even becomes more heartrending. Those women, those good friends, they take Peter into this upstairs room, and all the widows stood beside him crying as they showed the tunics and other clothing Dorcas had made when she was alive. Today, in our times of mourning, in our time of paying tribute to those we love, we print out pictures. We place them on those trifold cardboard displays purchased at Staples. We set up tables with those photos and memorabilia, things precious to the person we have lost. And for Dorcas, the women, her friends, they hold her clothing and they show them to Peter. It says so much about her as a person, and yet this story leaves us with so many questions. Were the women who called Peter thinking that he could really, honestly reverse this situation? Had there been other healings they had heard about that made them think that he might be able to intervene to change this tragic outcome? What did they expect when Peter asked them to leave the room? The story doesn't tell us, though we wonder. What is clear is something remarkable happened, and for a few days this week in preparing the sermon, well, I started to doubt my decision about choosing this text. I wasn't sure I wanted to preach on this odd story of a woman once dead, who sits up and takes Peter's hand, and then is presented whole and alive to her community. How do you preach a sermon like that? What do you do with the whole miraculous part? Because surely many of us sitting here today have people, some of us no doubt have a long list of people that we would ask Peter to tend to bring back, to restore to us once more. So why Dorcas and not our loved ones? And this question pressed even further on my heart as I read last weekend about the unexpected death of a young woman. Well, she's my age, so I'll consider her young. You may have heard of Rachel Held Evans, a well-known Christian author, a joyful troublemaker in many evangelical circles. She died from complications after a reaction to antibiotics for a common infection. She leaves behind two little kids, a husband, and so many readers who appreciated her honesty and her willingness to call out and challenge evangelical Christianity for its hypocrisy and judgment of the LGBTQ+ community. The virtual version of paying tribute to Rachel has ensued over this week. There haven't been tables laid out, but YouTube clips of her talks and blog posts and Twitter prayer circles, and many have asked, why not raise a woman like Rachel? These are the questions that I wrestled with, and as I did, it made room for another perspective that said the emphasis of this story is not about the return from death, but upon a community that brings all its spiritual strength and resources passionately upon life and wholeness. And they reminded me of words that Rachel Held Evans had said in an interview with a journalist when she said that death is a thing that empires worry about, not a thing that resurrection people worry about. As long as there's somebody baptizing sinners, breaking bread, drinking the wine, as long as there's people confessing their sins, healing, walking with one another through suffering, then the church is alive and it's well. We are in this season of Eastertide, a time for us, the church, to focus on the ways that we are resurrection people. And I begin now to see that in this story, it's not so much the miracle of Tabitha, dead, now alive, as it is the miracle of a community that truly believes, that there flows within their communal veins, if you will, the lifeblood, the vitality of the risen Christ. That's the way it is with this ongoingness of Eastertide. God's resurrection power, first made known in Jesus, and it just keeps showing up in situations that seem broken beyond despair. I love that idea and definition of church when we really think about it. That we are the place, the community, where God reminds us that we are not the ones that get to say something is over and finished. That's not our job. We're the ones continually being opened to new possibilities, new forms of healing, and new ways of being transformed. And it happens here at GPC all the time. Someone walks into the sanctuary here for the first time. Maybe that person isn't sure where he or she, what he or she is looking for exactly, but someone says, "Here, sit with us." And that hospitality speaks to somewhere deep. Or a young person struggling with their identity finds in a youth group mission trip a sense of meaning they've never imagined. Or someone grieving says to someone else grieving, "I will pray for you." And suddenly they don't feel quite so alone. Today's text celebrates the power of community, something, GPC, that we are a part of, but also something that we are always being invited to venture into more deeply, more fully. Which is maybe even why this text is so perfect for Mother's Day. That we can gather in this space and we can name and recognize with each other that this day is wonderful and not always easy for everyone. Whether our mother recently died or was emotionally absent to us growing up, maybe we don't have the best relationship with our mom and wish we did. Or for women with their own struggles of feeling like a good enough mother. For the one who has lost a child or a pregnancy, or we have to deal with the cultural expectations that we should be a mother just because we are a woman, even if it is not our calling. We are a church, and we can be honest about all of these joys and sorrows in our life and expect that God's resurrection power will continually be made known to us this day and always. Alleluia. Amen.
Amen.
gathered in this place, we bring all that we are, our prayers of joy, our prayers of concern, and as a community gathered, we commit to praying with and for one another in the week to come. For what shall we pray this week?
Good morning, Aileen Satinsky. I just wanted to note that my sister Evelyn Sclair, my brother David Sclair, and his wife Sharon are here with us this morning, so really happy about that. But it's also Evelyn's birthday, so I'd like to wish her happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And additionally, tomorrow is my mother's 90th, so we're off to Hamilton Manor today to celebrate with her. So we're very grateful we can do that. Thank you.
Prayers of celebration with your mom.
Kathy Wakeman, just really glad that Rob is here with us today. Woohoo! It's my annual Mother's Day present.
Debbie DeCero, prayers would be appreciated for friends of Bill and I, Tom and Jan Dennis from Spenceport, not the Tom and Jan that are here. His father died this past week. Since last June, they have buried three parents.
Mm, prayers for that family, indeed. I think I see one more hand up in the back.
Anne-Marie Sim. I had asked for prayers for my friend Barbara's brother who passed away, unfortunately. And I'm really happy, though, that she's here to spend the weekend with me. She came all the way from Toronto, so wow. We'll have a really nice Mother's Day.
Good. Thanks for being with us this morning, and our prayers continue for your family. Let us continue now our time of prayer together. Holy One, we gather in your presence to give you thanks. To celebrate the gift of your love, a love that supports, nurtures, and challenges us in ways that strengthen and transform us to work for peace and justice for all your children. We offer you praise and thanksgiving for your unfailing presence in our lives and all the blessings that you so generously offer us. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we give thanks for mothers the world over. We give thanks for all those who have nurtured and cared for us, remembering especially birth mothers, adoptive mothers, surrogate mothers, aunts, grandmothers, teachers, neighbors, and all the women who have shared their faith with us. We pray, compassionate God, for those mothers who have been hurt, disillusioned, or disappointed in their role as a mother. We pray for those who have been denied a longed-for chance at motherhood, and for those whose years of mothering have been cut short by the loss of a child. We lift up before you, O God, the members of our human family around the world. For those who are afflicted or suffering at this time, for those who need healing, for those who require bread or shelter. For those who live in violent homes and communities, for those who are grieving, and those whose needs are known to you alone. Holy Mother and Father of us all, touch us with your healing peace and gentle embrace, that we may walk in your ways, bringing dignity, justice, and peace to all corners of the world. All this we pray in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now receive the morning offering.
thank you, Lord, for your many gifts to us. We return a portion to further your work in our world. Amen.
With you as the benediction, the words that are printed in your bulletin under the meditation from St. Teresa of Avila. Friends, may you trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May you use those gifts you have received and pass on the love that has been given to you. May you be content knowing you are a child of God. Let this presence settle into your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing, to dance, praise, and love. It is there for each and every one of us. Alleluia. Amen.